Today's Shem Sechta Chulun Daf Yod. We will begin on Daf Yod Amud Aleph, 7 lines from the Tanap. Tanan Hasan. The Mishnah teaches us Shloish Mashkim Asurim Shem Gili. There are 3 types of beverages that Chazal were more concerned. The Chazal were concerned about if they're left exposed, maybe a snake drank from them. Mayim V'Yayin V'Cholav. Wine, water, wine, and milk. And as the Rishonim explained, that even though by other beverages, we need not to be necessarily concerned that a snake drank from them, by these 3 beverages, there's a specific concern that they were consumed by a snake. Says the Gemara, Kama Yishu, how long are they left exposed, v'hi asurim, that the Allah will be, that at that point we may not drink from them, says the Mishnah Kadesh Yotza Rechash, in enough time that whatever we need to be concerned, this crawling creature will come out and drink the mutton karav from a close place, the yishta, and will drink from them. So the Rishonim and Achronim, the question, of course, comes up, why would the halacha, if other beverages. So, from our Gemara, it seems that what we're just discussing only refers to these 3 beverages. That's where we have to be most concerned. However, we're going to have a Gemara, Mitzvah Shem, later in our Masechta, and Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis, that various Tanoim mention other liquids, beverages that we have to be concerned. Rav Shimon is concerned by fish sauce and by vinegar, oil, honey. Rav Shimon ben Elazar is concerned by honey. Others are to make a difference if it's pure fish sauce or if there is something mixed into them. The Kama, so we just learned to ask the Gemara that if it was left exposed for a small amount of time, we need to be concerned. So ask about Kama Karav. What is Makam Karav? We said if it's enough time that it should be able to come out, then it will be an issue. What does that mean? It says, Ma'am Rav Yitzhak Breda, Yehuda Kadesh Yaitze Metachas Akli, enough time for this snake or whatever to come out from under the handle of the keli in which this liquid is in, and then the Yishta and come out. It says the Gemara, if that's the case, that we see this coming out and drinking, then why should we be concerned? What's the issue? Ha-kechazile, we see it very clearly what's happening, and therefore there should be nothing to be concerned about. It says the Gemara, the shear is yishta, that'll come out of its hole, v'yachs l'churoi, and then it'll go right back to its hole, and nobody will have ever seen it. So Taisus, the Masech Tavadazah, and the Rajba say, that b'zman hazeh, we could be more lenient with the halacha mashkin megulim. Because nowadays we don't live amongst snakes, and therefore we have no reason to be so concerned. Moreover, the Torah's opinion is that we could always be lenient. That means, the Torah says, that not only where we have a situation where we don't know if something was left open, can we be lenient? Even in a situation where we know something was left open, we still don't have to be concerned, because b'zman hazeh, we live in a time and place, not amongst snakes. And that is indeed the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch, Yerideh Simen Kuf Tav Zayin, Sif Aleph, that nowadays that we don't live amongst snakes, we don't need to be concerned. The Pesachei Tshuva, over there in Sif Katan Aleph, quotes the Shalom, that still, somebody who's scrupulous in his behavior should be careful to be careful with this halacha. Moreover, the Pesachei Tshuva says, it's most interesting to point out, he says on one hand, the Shulchan Aruch is saying we need not be concerned with b'zman hazeh. On the other hand, the Torah is the one that says we need not be concerned. But the same Torah brings down all these halachas? Why is he bringing down these halachas if they're not relevant? Clearly, there is something to be concerned about, and so too is the opinion of the Gra, that the Gra was extremely concerned about this subject. There are those that are very careful that the water that's left out overnight should not be used for washing one's hand if it was left covered. There are those that say that in Yerushalayim, we could be more lenient, because the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, Perek Hei, Mishnah Hei, says, V'lo hizik nachash v'akrab Yerushalayim. No snake ever was able to do damage in Yerushalayim. And therefore, there are those that suggest that in Yerushalayim, I guess there's a special Shmira, Yerushalayim Yerakodesh, and we have reason to be more lenient. However, I saw that the Pri Chodesh says that it doesn't make a difference if it's Yerushalayim or not, that even in Yerushalayim, we have to be machmer. And so too is the opinion of the Birkei Yosef, that even in Yerushalayim, there is no reason to be, there's no right to be lenient. The question is, what would be the halacha if something was left uncovered? If it was left uncovered, let's say you have a pitcher of water, and it was left uncovered in the refrigerator. So one hand, it was left uncovered. But here, that it's in the closed refrigerator, there's reason to be lenient. So it's interesting to point out that the Chazon Ish, based on the Gra that we just quoted, was very machmer in the halacha of leaving things uncovered, but he himself was lenient if something was left uncovered when it's in a refrigerator. Since the refrigerator is closed, there is no reason, he suggested, that we have to be so strict. Says the Gemara Itmar. So we learned Hashoche B'Sakin, if somebody shechs with a knife, v'nimtzis peguma, and now we discover that the knife has a nick in it. Amar Rav Huna says Rav Huna afilu shiva by tzemes kol hayom, even if it was used for breaking bones all day long, and therefore we could probably assume that what caused the problem with this knife is the fact that it was used for breaking bones. Psula, the shechita is possible. Cheshina, we have to be concerned. Shema ba'or nifkama. Maybe it came in contact somehow with the hide as they were about to cut the animal, and that's what caused the knife to become disqualified. And therefore, when that knife was used to shech the animal, it was already a problematic knife. Chizomer shera, that the shechita is kosher. Shema betzim nifkama, that it only broke when it came in contact with the bone after the shechita. And therefore, since it only became in contact with the bone after the shechita, so at the time of the shechita, it was fine. The Rishonim point out that the entire discussion that we're now having, Machlokes Rav Huna Rav Chisda, is only in a situation where the knife was checked before we did the shechita. So we know that the knife started off good, but if the knife was not checked before the shechita, because we have to be concerned that the knife was already disqualified from before the shechita, and therefore certainly we have to be machmer. The Rashba and the Meiri says, well, why do you have to check the knife before the shechita? Why can't we say that you'll check the knife after the shechita? And if you check the knife after the shechita, you discover that it's not good, you'll disqualify the shechita. So the Rashba says, we're concerned that maybe you'll forget to check the knife after the shechita. Another explanation that the Miri gives a number of explanations why one must check the knife before the shechita and not rely that he's going to check after the shechita. One point he makes is that the pasuk says in Shmuel shechatem bezeh, that you have, from here we learn there's a halacha that you have to do bedikas hasaken. Another point that the Miri makes, well, if you're going to use a knife which wasn't checked, then you really, and then after the shechita, you'll check the knife, and you'll discover that the knife, when it's qualified, then the animal will be treif, and then you may bow tashchis. Another explanation the Miri gives, that we need to be concerned that if you didn't check the knife, and therefore the shechita is not a good shechita, the bracha that you made on the shechita will turn out to be a bracha levatala. However, the Rosh points out that if a shechit, which is very common, has a knife, which he puts away for shechita, only uses for shechita, and he always is checking his knife, and he put it away, the halacha is that, and then you check with that knife, you can rely on the shechita. However, the Yam Shleima says that even though that's what the Rosh says, that should only be relied on b'di'evit. But as we just explained, for many reasons, the halacha is that l'chatchila, one should check the knife before the shechita. And in fact, if we look in the Shulchan Aruch, Yoridei is Simen Yud Ches, Sif Yud Dalid. In my brother, a second, if one did not check the knife, the shachaba, and he used it for shechita, for never acha shechita, and then it got lost, shechita subsula, we have to disqualify the shechita. However, says the Shulchan Aruch, when it was that said, b'stam sakin, when we have a knife that we don't really know its status, avol tavach, sheesh l'sakin miyuchad, if a shoichet has a designated knife, which is used l'shechita, or makom miyuchad shemetznian, a designated place where he keeps it, tamid, on the regular, constantly, b'cheskes badaku, we can rely on it, b'mshach ba b'loy b'dika, if one used it without checking it first, v'nevat shechita k'sheira, the halacha is that we will be able to rely on this b'dievet and say the shechita is acceptable. Continues the Gemara, b'shlam Rav Huna, Rav Huna says that even if you broke bones with it, it's possible. Kishmatze, it follows what we discussed in our previous year, where the Gemara said, Behema b'chaya b'cheskes iser medes, every animal has a cheskes iser, achi vadalach, until we're able to know b'man nishchata, how it was done. So since here we can't be certain, that's why we have to be machmer. Elav chizda maitama, but ask the Gemara, how do we understand Rav Chizda's opinion? Amalach, so Rav Chizda tells us, etzem vade paigim. We know that when the knife comes in contact with a bone, it's certainly going to make it possible. Or the hide of the animal is not necessarily going to accomplish that. Suffolk paigim, suffolk loy paigim. It's not that common that it's going to do so. And therefore, we have a situation of suffolk where we have a suffolk if it was the or, and we have a vadai that it came in contact with bones, and the halacha will be, ain't suffolk moitzi midei vadai, that we can rely on the knife, we can rely that it was fine. I saw a beautiful vart in the Sefer Tyrus Ovis. It says that a person, when he davens for gashmias, it's not quite certain that his tefillas will be answered. But when a person davens for ruchnias, we can be much more confident that his tefillah will be answered. And therefore, he says that whenever somebody davens, even if he's davening for something gashmias, he should include a ruchniestiger aspect to that tefillah. Because once you include, if somebody's asking for health, he's davening that he should be healthy in order that it should be do avodas Hashem. If that's the case, once he'll be confident that his tefillah will be answered because of the ruchniestiger aspect of his tefillah, ain't sofik mitzvah b'dei vaday, then his gashmius will be answered as well. But if he's only going to ask for gashmius, ain't sofik mitzvah b'dei vaday, we can't be confident that his tefillah is going to be answered. Ask the Gemara Masav Rava, says the Gemara Masav Rava l'siyul Rav Huna. Rav Huna brought a braisa to support what Rav Huna said. Tavol b'mikvah. If somebody went into the mikvah for Allah, and he comes out of the mikvah, v'nimtza alav davar chaytzitz, and then he finds on his body something which would be a chatzitza. Now we have to decide, was it on his body at the time of the tefillah or not? Says the braisa, even though he was working with that thing that he finds attached to his body the entire day, we can't consider this a good tefillah. Unless he could say confidently, it wasn't on me before. Says the Gemara, let's think this through. He went to the mikveh. Safek havala, we don't know, was this chatzitza on him at the time of tefillah? Safek loy havala, or was it not on him at the time of tefillah? And yet, ka'asi safek, we see from here that the safek is stronger than the vadai, and we disqualify the tefillah. Answers the Gemara, Shani Hassam, that cannot serve as a good raya. Dikla Meimer, there, somebody went to the mikveh. When somebody went to the mikveh, he was tamei. That's why he went to the mikveh. And therefore he had a cheskas tumah. And now, ve'ema loy tavel. Now we have to be concerned that he didn't do the tefillah properly. Hachanami, says the Gemara. So here too, hamad be'ema cheskasoi. We, as we keep on saying, that the behemah b'chayah cheskas iser, and therefore, v'leim alay neshechtecha. Says the more we can't compare the case. Because in this case, harei shchut, in our Gemara currently, harei shchut alufanacha, we have a animal that was slaughtered. We can't deny that. So says the Gemara hachinami, by the chatzitza, also, harei tavel alufanacha, we know that this individual went to the mikveh. Answers the Gemara, the two cases are not the same. Ha is yalda be'reyusa. Now, he indeed went to the mikveh, but there's an issue with that tefillah, because we see that he has the chatzitza on his body. So as the Gemara, hachinami, by the case of the animal, the yalda be'reyusa, there's a reyusa, because we have to be concerned, because we see that the sakin is a disqualified sakin. Answers the Gemara, the cases are not the same. Why not? Sakin esroi. In the case of an al Gemara, it's the knife that we have an issue with. But it's not a sakin esroi, but there's nothing to do with the animal. So the Gemara says, Arei shchuta bilfanecha. And the Achrayim try to understand this Gemara statement. Yes, Arei shchuta lefanecha, but we don't know if it was a good shchita. What does the Gemara mean to say with the words shchuta lefanecha? And because of this question, I saw that the Sefer Torah Shikusil says that the Gemara all along knew that what the Gemara means is that the sakin esroi, it was only the question on the knife, the behemah esroi, there's no question on the animal. So of course, all the Rishonim asked the obvious question. What's the difference in what is the reyesa? If the reyesa is in the animal or in the sakin? At the end of the day, there's a question about the kashrus of the shechita. So Tosfos answer that what the Gemara means to say that when we think about the knife, there are many reasons to be lenient about the knife. One, as we've been learning, maybe it only got nicked when it touched the bone after the shechita. And even if it got nicked when it touched the skin, maybe the part that was used to actually kill the animal, to cut the animal, wasn't the place where there was a begima. The Rashba explains that the race, the issue with the sakin is not enough to take away what the qualification, the shchita, because the halacha, going back to what we say before, suffic, or is unlikely to nick a knife. Bones are much more likely to nick a knife. And that's why we have to assume that it was the bones, not the knife. The Rashba and the Ran says that when we speak about the person who went to the mikveh and he finds a chatzitza, it has to be that if he went to the mikveh with a chatzitza, it's as if he didn't have a maisa tefillah at all. And since he had didn't have a maisa tefillah at all, going to the mikveh with a chatzitza on you is equivalent to not going to the mikveh. However, here we did have a shechita, and it's a possibility that the shechita was a good shechita for the various reasons. Therefore, we could be more lenient by the Gemara suggesting we could be more lenient by the knife than we are by the mikveh. So says the Gemara,
Meisvei, another question. Shachar Aveshet. So the halacha is that every animal and bird have two simonim, the veshet and the kana. The veshet is the food pipe, the kana is the windpipe, esophagus and trachea. And by bird, the halacha says that all you really have to shecht is one simon. So somebody shachet as a veshet, the veshet was slaughtered properly, and then the kana was out, was moved out of place. Since, as we just explained, technically shechting one simen is enough. So since when you shechted the veshet, it was fine, we don't care what happens afterward. However, if it was reversed, when nishpta kageres, first the kageres was out of its place, v'akach shachet the veshet, and then you shecht the veshet, the halacha is its psula. Because if you shecht the, if the gageris was out of place at be first, so Rashi explains that if it was out of place before the shechita, that makes it into a trefa. And since that makes it into a trefa, therefore nothing that you will do will make that shechita kosher. However, that another pshat that many suggest in the Rishonim is that if the other simon is out of its place, so then it's a disqualification in the Maisa, it's a disqualification in the Maisa Shechita. Continues the Gemara. Now what happened was, Shachras HaVeshet, he properly shechted the Veshet, and then after the Shechita, Nimsa Gageres Shemuta, he finds the Gageres out of its place. And now he has a question. He doesn't know exactly when this took place. It says the Gemara Zayi Maisa. This Shaila came to the Beis Medrash. Whenever we have this kind of question, we have to be machma. Says the Gemara. What did they want to teach with this halacha? That whenever there's a question, when the begima in the knife took place, we have to be machmer and say that the shechita is not a good shechita. Says Marloi, that's not the case. The case that the Bryce is coming to teach us is L'soya Sofik Shah. We've discussed in our shiurim that there are five things that disqualify shechita. Shah, if we're not sure if the shechit paused the middle of the shechita. Sofik Doras, if the shechit, if there was a drusa that he did not properly do the ma'isa shechita, and therefore those are the cases that we have to be machma. Or ma'ishna, ask the Gemara, why in the case where we don't know if there was a shiur or a drusa, we are going to be machmer, whereas when there's a question about the kashrus of the sakin, we want to follow the opinion of Chizda and be lenient. Answers the Gemara, Hasam, as far as we said a few moments ago, Hasam, if there's a question about the Shechita, so there's a situation of the question is on the animal. Whereas here, when we don't know when the knife became pogum, it's only a question on the knife. It's not a question on the animal, and therefore the situations are not comparable. Says the Gemara, that the halacha says the Gemara is like Rav Huna, that if a knife was found pogum after the shechita, we have to disqualify the shechita only shiver b'as etzim, because if there was no, if it didn't cut the bone, we certainly have to be concerned that it got posel before the shechita. We could take the opinion of Chizda that if the knife is pogum, kishiva by etzem, if the knife was used to break bones, and therefore since it was used to break bones, we could attach or assume that that's what disqualified the knife, not the arm. What's going to be a halacha if somebody cut the knife not with force? In other words, what is the Gemara saying now? That we take, as we've been saying throughout our shiur, we take the likelihood that it was the bone that broke the knife much more seriously than to say it was the art that broke the knife. But does that mean only in a case where he broke the bone with force, and therefore that's why we could assume that it was the bone that broke it? Or, and therefore, if he didn't break the bone with force, we would have to be machmer and say that maybe it was the art that broke it? But there are those that suggest that even under all circumstances where he doesn't know for sure, we always take the lenient approach. And we say that if we started off with a good knife, and the knife will be kosher if it was used for the bone. The Ramban and Ran, a machmer, says that if he didn't use force to cut the bone, we have no right to be lenient. Moreover, says the Rashba, even if the only time we could be lenient is only in a case where he used a lot of force in breaking the knife. Says the Gemara, Mechlal, says the Gemara, Rav Chisda's opinion is that with passing Rav Chisda, says the Gemara, when you broke a bone, doesn't that mean, suggest the Gemara, the Mechlader of Chisda himself is of the opinion that Afikav the Leishiva Ba'etzim, that even if you didn't break a bone, you could be lenient. Says the Gemara, B'mayifkim, if that's the case, why would we say that the knife became disqualified? Ema, says the Gemara, because what happened is that after you cut the simonim, you cut the bone in the back of the neck, and therefore we could assume, according to Rav Chisda, that in all circumstances, that's what made the pegim and the knife. Says the Gemara, Hava Uvda, there was such an episode where a knife was found with a pegim after the shechita of a number of animals. V'tar Rav Yosef at Leisachayosa. And Rav Yosef had the shaila where 13 animals were killed with that knife, and all 13 animals were declared non-kosher. Kaman, says the Gemara, presumably is following the opinion of Funa, that Rav Funa was so machmer, and he would be machmer afil b'kamaisa, even with the first animal, says the Gemara Loi. That isn't necessarily what's meant there. What happened here was, we're following the opinion of Rav Chisda. And Rav Chisda, even Rav Chisda that's taking the more lenient approach, he's only taking the lenient approach on after the first animal. Up to that, the first animal we could be lenient on, but he can't be lenient on after the first animal, because we have to be concerned when it came in touch with the bone after the shechita. Even Rav Chisda will agree that that made the knife a pegima, and therefore, if it was used for others, it will not be acceptable. Bibay Seima, says the Gemara, it could be that he paskins l'Rav Huna. Dikra Rav Chisda, if you want to say, says the Gemara, if you want to follow the opinion of Rav Huna, if you want to follow the opinion of Chisda, michti mitl talinan. What is the basis of Rav Chisda's opinion? The basis of Chisda's opinion is that we always want to look for a reason to be lenient. Says the Gemara, so in the case that we just spoke about with the 13 animals, why are we so quick to assume that it was the bone of the first animal that disqualified the knife? It was the last knife that disqualified the knife. If Rav Chisda's following approach that we're always looking for a leniency, so we should go even further. We're looking for a leniency. So the question is, the Gemara is now making an assumption that Rav Chisda is always going to be lenient. Why would we say such a leniency? So some explain, I saw a number of explanations in the Sefer Malaya Royim. One is because there's a Sfek Sfeika. One is maybe the knife only became disqualified before after the last Shechita. And moreover, even if it got disqualified earlier, we need to maybe assume that the part of the knife that had the nick is not the part that was used for shechting, which actually cut the neck of the animal. So that makes it into a svek sveka. And whenever we have a svek sveka, we could be lenient. Moreover, the Melay Roim suggests that we, Rav Chisda is lenient because we have a chazaka that it's not a nevela, because we do see that shechita took place. Moreover, the Melay Roim says, he takes a practical approach. He says, a knife gets ruined as we use it more. And since the knife gets ruined as we use it more, we could assume that it only got ruined at the end. He required that between every animal we shecht, we should check the knife. Command. So says the Gemara, whose opinion is that? Krafuna, that always is concerned that the knife became disqualified even with the hide. And therefore the halacha will be that if it turns out that the first animal after it was shechted, slaughtered, we discover that there's a begima, the halacha was the first animal will be pasul. Says the Gemara, loy, that's not the reason Rav Kahana required this. It could well be that Rav Kahana follows like Rav Chisda. And why did he have to do the checking of Lechshuri B'Sraisa? And the way I saw the Rishonim explain the Gemara now is following the first version. Even Rav Chisda that's lenient is only lenient on the first animal. But all the other animals, even Rav Chisda will be machmer, and that's why Rav Kahana said, check the animals in between. So I asked the Gemara, if that's the case, the halacha is that, as we're going to learn later in our Masechta very extensively, the Pasuk says in Shmuel, v'shechatetem b'zeh v'achaltem, that they showed Shaul HaMelech the knife before they shechted. And from here we see that the knife has to always be shown to the Talmud Chacham before the shechita takes place. So if that's the case, the Rav Kahana required that this, the Rav Kahana did not require bedika between the shechitas, he obviously holds that there's no requirement for bedika karam shechita. Why, says the Gemara, the reason why he was lenient was because he relied on Eidech and Bisurim. Rav Kahana's approach was that we don't have to show the knife to the Rav. We can rely on Eidech and Bisurim. And the Rishonim debate very extensively what is the source for the halacha of Eidech and Bisurim. The Rashi explains that, as we learned extensively when we learned Masechta Mizrachim and Masechta Menachos, that everybody could shecht their own animal when they bring a carbon. The Torah says, "V'zavachtem mekarchem etzayincha," and we trust everybody to do the shechita properly. Another explanation, which the Ramban and the Rashba say, if you can't trust when a person tells you that the shechita was a good shechita, then we're going to have a situation nobody will ever be able to be a guest in someone else's home. I'm invited to somebody else's home. How do I know that it's kosher? Because Eirechanam Bisurim. Rashi explains that the same, he says, similar pshat, when we get produce, how are we allowed to eat the produce? Why should we not be concerned that the Truma Maestris were not taken? Another explanation that many Rishonim suggest is that every woman has to make sure that she's not a Nida. And how do we know, how do we rely that a woman's not a Nida for all the consequences of a woman being a Nida? Because the Torah says, v'sarfa la'atzma. She should determine if she's a Nida or not. All of these are proof that we could rely on Erecha and Nem and Bisurim. Continues the Gemara. Menoah Milsa, ask the Gemara, Menoah Milsa, from where do we know this halacha? So ask the Gemara, Yachmi Kar Namiloi. If that's the case, that we're relying on Erech and Nem and Bisurim, why do we just learn that there's halacha? You have to show the knife to a Rav. Answers the Gemara, Hamar Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan taught us the answer. Lo'yomer lahar sakin l'chochem. Truthfully, the shoychet who used the knife can be relied on. The reason that the halacha requires that it should be shown to the chacham first, and the mitzvah shem, when we're going to learn that gemara, we will describe do we do it nowadays, or what, how do we accomplish this bisman hazem. Says the gemara, so ask the gemara, how do we notice halacha that ukam milsa cheske, that we rely on a chazaka. The Chassam Sofer makes a very important introduction to this gemara. He says that the word chazaka is used many times in Shas, but it has different definition. There is chazaka, which is based on that, on when we see and we know that that means something. The Gemara says, Chazaka ein adam pereya chay v'toich zmanai. We could be certain that a person doesn't pay his debts, prepay his debts. There's a chazaka that if you see a woman coming with a baby, that's her child. That's one type of chazaka. That's a chazaka, says the Chassam Sofer, that's based on people's behavior. Then we have another chazaka, which is called Cheska Shalosh Pamim, which Masechta Baba Basra is all built on. Masechta Baba Basra is built on chazaka that if I'm on a property and I was on the property 3 years and I claim it's mine, then the halacha tells us we could rely on a chazaka. Says the Chassam Sofer, that is not the chazaka that's being discussed in our Gemara. Our Gemara is speaking about a chazaka de mikara. If we know how some, which we would probably call in English a status quo. And he goes on to say, when we speak about this type of chazaka, we could say that now that we have a question, what is the situation, we could rely on the way it was till now. Or another way of understanding this, maybe even closer to where we're learning in our situation, and that is that if we knew something is kosher, the halacha is we could continue relying on it. When we speak about this type of chazaka, there's a fundamental machlokes of achronim. What is this chazaka? What does it mean when the halacha tells us to follow the chazaka? Some explain that the chazaka doesn't create a halacha. The chazaka creates a minig. It tells us a hanhaga. When we have a question, which a big part of Shas is based around questions, and we don't know what to do, the chazaka tells us this is what you should do. But it's not that it told us this is really the reality. The Nesivus disagrees. And he says what a chazaka accomplishes is that a chazaka tells us, that the halacha tells us this is the reality. So again, says the Gemara, Menah, Milsa Domer Rabbanon, Uke Milsa Cheske, Omer Hashem Banachmeni, Omer Abyonison. We learned this halacha from the halacha of a Tzaraas Habayis, that the halacha, the Torah HaKadosh, tells us that if somebody sees a nega on his home, and he brings a kohen to examine the home, and if the nega follows all the rules, then the house has to be quarantined for 7 days. And after 7 days, we have to see if the nega spread. Omicron. So the Torah says that after the kohen went into the house and saw that there's a nega there, says the Torah, he exits the house and he quarantines the house. But ask the Gemara, why should we not be concerned? Dilma ada nafak v'asa, as he's leaving the house, Batzalei Shira, the shear got reduced. The shear of a negan abayis is the length has to be at least the length of 2 grisim and the width of 1 gris. And maybe that diminished and it's not a neg anymore. Ella, why do we not say that? Says the Gemara, because the meaning uki achazoke. We can rely on the chazaka. So over here too, we see we rely on a chazaka. Says the Baruch, Mask Ravacha B'Yakov, ask Ravacha B'Yakov, who says that that's the way to understand it? Maybe Vidilma, what happened over here was, Kigon Shiyotzadar Chayrav. the Kohen exited the house, walking backwards, and he sees that the Nega did not shrink. Many Taisus asked the question, we just learned that the Halacha Sofek Tumah B'Shus HaYochid is Tahor. So this is a private house, it's a Shus HaYochid. So Taisus says that there's no reason to assume that there's no one else there. It could be a situation where there are other people there. And since there are other people there, so it's not considered a Rishus Rab, it's considered a Rishus Rabbim, and yet the same din applies. So answers the Gemara, Amalei Abaya, Shtei Tshuvas B'Davar. Says the Gemara, there are two reasons why this approach is not correct. Chada, the Yitzhiya Derech Acharev Lo Yishma Yitzhiya. The Torah says that the Kohen V'yotza HaKohen V'Abayas, the Kohen should exit the house. And says the Gemara, walking backwards is not considered a Yitzhiya. Furthermore, Achurei Adalos, even if he's walking backwards, he doesn't see what's behind the door. V'chi Teima, and if you'll say the Pasuk Bei Kafsa, that the Kohen opens up a window in the door, and therefore he could see what's doing there. But Tanan says the Gemara, didn't we not learn in the Mishnah? Bayis Ofel, a house which is dark, and therefore we can't see the Nega properly. The Torah tells us, we're not allowed to open up windows to see what's going on. So I saw Pshatim al Pidrush that as long as somebody's doing Avera, the Bayis Ofel, that the house is the Avera that somebody's doing are being done, the bias off of the person who's doing the Avera doesn't do it publicly, then that is a proof that it's not that bad if the person's embarrassed to do the Avera publicly. And therefore, Ein Paisach Chaloimus Liris is a Nega. Then we should not do anything to publicize his Avera. And I saw that the Strick of a Rebbe explains this Gemara al Pi Drush. He says what the Gemara means to say is that we shouldn't be so quick to look at deficiencies in other people. And if there's a nega in the bias, but it's not visible, so what should we do? Keep it dark. Don't look for people to find problems in other people. I saw a very interesting halacha concept. What's going to be the halacha if a kohen can only could see with his eyeglasses? Would that be acceptable? Or since our Gemara is teaching us that we have to go out of a way not to see something wrong and not look for a nega, included in that halacha perhaps is not to wear eyeglasses. Well, we're able to see negoyim better if we're wearing eyeglasses. But the Torah doesn't want us to see Negoim. The Torah wants us to avoid seeing fault in other people, avoid seeing the Goim, and don't put on glasses. I saw that the Maral explains the Gemara, says that when somebody is in a bias awful, what is the definition of a bias awful? So explains, a bias awful is a place that's dark. He says what the Gemara means to say is, if somebody's living in a house which is dark, that represents that this person is a modest and humble person. If you have an individual who's modest and humble, then there's no reason to believe that this person has a nega. Amalei Rava. So Rava says, what you just said, I could refute. The comrade, what you said, Yitzhi Derech Acharev Lo Yishma Yitzhiya, that walking backwards is not counted exiting, I'll prove to you from Kohen B'Yom Kippurim Yechiyach. The Ksiv, the Torah says that after the Kohen Gadol enters the Kodesh Kedoshim to take out the Kaf and Macht of the Ktoiris that he left there, the Pasuk says, V'yotzu V'osa Salasai. And Tanan, the Mishnah Masech the Yuma, Daf Nun Beis Amud Beis, teaches us, Yotzu Bala Derek Nisosai. He walks out backwards. So we see walking out backwards is not an issue. Ud comment what you said, Bayis Offal Aim Bahis Bachalanus Lyris is Nega, and you said that we should open up a window. If the house was not established as a house that has a nega. So if it's a house that wasn't established as a house that has a nega, so then the halacha indeed tells us that we shouldn't take action to find the nega. But over here, where it already has been established, here we're referring to a situation where the house has been already established to have a nega. So then doing something to help us see is not wrong. It says the Gemara, the halach is that the Gemara says, Tanya de Lekravach ben Yaakov, that says, well, we learned the Brice because we want to use this Gemara to teach us that we can rely on a chazakah. And now the Gemara said, well, he walked out backwards. Says the Gemara, I have a Brice that says not like that. The Brice says, V'yotza koyim min abayis, yochel yeyel chutach beisoy, the halach is the koyim can go home, v'yaskir, and then make that determination. Tamaloyim al pesach abayis, he should be at the entrance of the house. Continues the Brice, I pesach abayis yochel yamatach samashkif. He has to stand right under the doorway, v'yaskir, and make the declaration. Tamaloyim min abayis, achiyetz min abayis kol, he has to completely exit the house. Ha keitzat, what does that mean? He stands on the other side of the doorway and makes the declaration that this house should be quarantined. Umanayin continues the Brisa Shem Holach Lutak Beis of Hizgir. If he went home and then he made the declaration, or he made the declaration before he left the house, that it's still going to be considered a halachic, valid declaration, Shezgerim Muzgir, Tamalayim of Hizgir Zabayis, Mikamakim. Under all circumstances, it's acceptable. So we see that even though the Kohen's all the way at home and he doesn't see the nega, we can rely on the chazakah Ask the Gemara, how will Rav Yaakov, Achva Yaakov, answer this Gemara? He's saying it's speaking about a situation. There's a row of people that are standing at the house that has the nega, up to the house of the Kohen, for Amri, and they're reporting to the Kohen, to the Kohen, what was there when you were in the house, what you saw when you entered the house, is still the case. And therefore, there's no reason that you should, and that's why the law is that we have to, the house is still considered a nega. So Tosfos asks, why do we have to say that we have this row of people? Said, wouldn't it be enough to say that there's one person standing by this house and he's telling the Kohen that who's in house, that by his house, that it was disqualified? So Tosfos answers, what that would mean is that the Kohen is not getting real time information. And since the Kohen is not getting real time information, that's why the halacha is that it's not reliable. Ask the Shita, if this is acceptable, so how could the Gemara have ever suggested that we rely on chazaka? So the Shita answers that lechatchila, it all is up to the Kohen. When we speak about Negoyim, the halacha is clear that the person that makes the determination is the Kohen. And if the Kohen saw the nega, it's he who declares the house as having a nega. The fact that he's getting reports is not really what the halacha requires. And it must be that the reason the Kohen could do what he's doing is because we rely on the chazakah.